Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
All set.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorda. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Dillian White. Finally, Steve, he finally found his pen and signed to face Tyson Fury. It should be a good one. A lot of drama still there, and we'll talk about it. But first, we're going to get started with Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall for the undisputed junior welterweight championship. And this was in the Hydro in Glasgow in Scotland, man. I've always said, Beeb, it's a hard thing to do for a fighter to fight in his hometown. It just is. And especially a fighter as big as Josh Taylor fighting in his town, you know, fighting in his own country and everything. Just like I think it's going to be hard for Kambosos to go back to Australia. It's a tough thing to do. You got a lot of people bothering you for tickets, everything like that, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know how much of that was weighing on his mind or whatever the case may be, but he did manage to win a narrow split decision over Jack Catterall by the scores of 113-112 for Catterall, 114-111 for Taylor, and 113-112 for Taylor. Catterall really impressed me in this fight. Beep said who was talking about Catterall was a live dog in this fight. He was a -1300 favorite or something crazy.
Yeah, he's a huge underdog.
And you kept hearing people saying, I think he's a live dog and everything like that. And I was like, hey, no way. Josh is going to kill him.
Yeah,
it didn't work out that way, man.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way at all, man. Catterall was really impressive. He was very slick. He did a great job against Taylor. He had Taylor scouted. I think that was the biggest thing. He knew he put together a good game plan. He knew what Taylor was going to try. He knew he was going to come out and press. So he used his jab, used his footwork, and his defense was just really on point. He was hitting him with that left hand almost at will last night, you know. So a lot of back and forth in the eighth round. Catterall dropped Taylor with a combination. I don't think he was hurt. I think he was buzzed, but it was more like an overwhelming – it was one of those overwhelming combinations. It wasn't like one punch actually did it. It looked like he swarmed. He was moving in, and Taylor just went down, and that's a knockdown. Not real sure how hurt he was with that. I had it 5-3 going in the ninth round, and that's where the ref was just – to me, he had gone crazy all fight. He was just overstepping the entire fight, way too involved, separating them and warning them when there's real no reason to do so. Reminded me – you know who he reminded me of, Beeb? Jack
What's
Reese.
That?
He reminded me a lot of Jack Reese, where he breaks them up and then he's got to explain 50 rules to them, you know, and admonish them and do all this. I can't stay. He spends too much time explaining, not enough time letting these guys fight. And I can't stand that. It's like nobody comes to see you referee. And when the referee becomes the focal point, when we're talking about the referee the next day, you know you didn't do your job. You did your job, you know, too much last night. In the 10th round, he took away a point from Catterall, which was completely unwarranted. I don't care what you say, that was completely unwarranted, man. Should not have taken that point away from Catterall. I thought that was awful. In the 11th round, he turned the table again, took a point away from Taylor. Now, Taylor had hit Catterall after the bell, and it wasn't a necessarily hard shot. It was harder than, like, say, a chuck on the shoulder, you know, but he hit him right in the belly after the bell. Wasn't a hard shot, but it was. You know, it wasn't a soft shot either. It was, you know, did it warrant a point deduction? I don't know, man. I can justify that easier than I can justify Catterall getting a point taken away from him. Put it that way. I gave the last four rounds, with the exception of a 9-9 round in the 11th, where they took the point away from Taylor. I gave the last four rounds to Taylor. I had the fight scored 113-112 for Josh Taylor. Listen, guys, this fight is way too close to be called a robbery. I know a lot of UK fans are screaming robbery, but this fight was way too close. This is not a robbery. And why is it not a robbery? Because I can justify Josh Taylor winning. I can also justify Jack Catterall winning that fight. You cannot. That is not a robbery. That is just a really close decision.
Well, what did we say before the show even started? For this fight to be a robbery, everyone would have to agree on at least seven of the rounds.
Yeah.
You and I only agreed on five.
Five. That's it, right?
So we need each
gave him the last four rounds, no?
Correct.
Yeah.
But some people
with the exception of the 11th because it was tied. You know.
Well, yeah, technically, you know, he won that round, but a point was taken away from him. So, yeah. So, and a lot of – some people gave Catterall round 11. Some people had rounds 2, 3, and 4 for Taylor.
But did they give Catterall – when they give the Catterall that round 11, was it a 10-8 round? It would have to be, no?
It would have to be a 10-8
round. It would have to be a 10-8 round. That's a big deal because that was definitely not a 10-8 round for Catterall.
But I'll be honest with you. The second half of the fight was a totally different story than the first half because at that point, Catterall, his output went down because I believe Taylor's roughhousing and the physicality and just him bodying Catterall and being very aggressive and physical with him and mauling him on the inside, you could tell that that was wearing on Catterall. You could look at his face, and I know Andre Ward said you could just look at the body language. Catterall did not – I think it was Tim Bradley that said that. Catterall did not look comfortable in the second half of that fight. His punch output went down. He was just looking like he was getting bossed in those last four rounds. And – I gave Catterall five of the first six, but then you know at the end I think it gave him like two of the last six. So it was a totally different fight the second half of the fight, you know, and the whole punch stat thing. Yeah, okay, maybe Catterall did outland him, but you know sometimes the punch stats, you could say, yeah, that was an accurate representation of what I saw. But sometimes you can say, well, I don't know. Because a lot of those punches, Catterall, he was landing a lot of good, you know, straight lefts. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of those jabs and stuff, you know, they were just rhythm breakers. They were just pesky rhythm breakers and disruptors to Taylor. Now, they're scoring blows. But once again, you know, how effective were they? I mean, Taylor was when he landed, he was swinging for the fences. He was loading up a lot. He was leaning in. But, you know, in the rounds that when there wasn't a lot of action, meaning there wasn't a lot of punches landed, I should say, Taylor was the aggressor. He was the guy moving forward. He was the guy that was trying to create contact. You know, he was pushing Catterall back, and he was muscling him and mauling him. And you could say, well, that's not – it's about clean, effective punching. Yeah, but there were moments in the fight in certain rounds where there wasn't a lot of – clean, effective punching from either guy. So who do you give it to? You got to give it to the guy who's moving forward and trying to make the fight instead of the guy who's retreating. Now, if the guy is backing up and stepping off to the side and setting up counters, then that's a different story.
Leighton Evelyn says no one thinks –
that wasn't always the case. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Leighton Evelyn says no one thinks Taylor won. We think Taylor won. No British guy thinks Taylor won.
I didn't have him winning. You thought he won. It was a gentleman that texted me and said he won, and a couple other people that talked to me and said that he won. But yeah, the British. You know, here's the thing, man. The UK fans, I love them. I'm the adopted UK son.
You got a flat.
We got a flat in Manchester. You know, I spent some time in Sheffield from time to time before I vacation.
Sheffield?
And, yeah. I like Kel Brook and I like
You like the farm?
I like the Ingles.
Yeah.
The Ingles gym. I like Brendan. I like my friend Ingles.
Lots to do with Sheffield, huh?
I like Dominic Ingle. I like Kid Gallant. I like those people over there. But because he was a 13-1 underdog and he did 10 times better than what everyone expected. Because the fight was close, it's going to be a robbery. Like he's given more. I mean, he should get all the credit in the world. Don't get me wrong,
man. Not to be ashamed.
Not taking anything away from him. But if that was two guys, if Taylor was like a 2-1 favorite, or if that was a pick-em fight, no one would be crying robbery today. They just won it. Because you know what it is? When you see someone do so much better than you expected,
yeah.
Subconsciously, a lot of people who watched that fight started rooting for him.
Yeah, for sure. For
they started
sure.
rooting for him. And they're like, wow, this can really happen. And when it didn't happen, they were disappointed. So you're giving a guy extra credit for doing better than you thought he would do. Just like Gavin Russell was given extra credit for fighting with one arm.
Right. Ronald Finkley says, y'all tripping. Taylor's face looked like mincemeat, and he got the knockdown. Right, but there was also a point taken away. There was also a point taken away from Catterall, too. I mean, there was a point taken away from Taylor, but it wasn't a 10-8 round. It was a 9-9 round. In fact, it was a 9-9 on all three judges' scorecards. So you got to remember that. Evens
I think
up.
All three judges, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have to go back and look. I don't think they gave Catterall any of the last four.
I don't know. I got to go look. I don't know right offhand.
I'm going to take a look at it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from rounds 9 through 12, Catterall just looked like he was getting worn down physically.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was uncomfortable. And Leighton says, well, Beeb, what about that scorecard from McDermott? Come on, bro.
The 114-111?
So that's another thing that happens. Once there's a wide scorecard that we don't like, then it's a rob. Then the robbery gets thrown on as well.
Leighton Evelyn, and Reese Mack. What were your scorecards?
Unless we can agree on seven
Reese
rounds.
Mack, okay, I got you, Reese Mack. Reese Mack had it 115-110 to Catterall. I think that's wide. Yeah, I think that's just too wide. For me, that's too wide.
Listen, I think it was a close fight. Could have gone either way. And again, Eric and I agreed on five of the rounds. Unless many of us and most of us can agree on all seven, on at least seven rounds that we all think Catterall won, then it's not a robbery. It's not a robbery. You know what I mean? We only agreed on five of them. So there's margin for different scorecards.
Let's see here. He says counterpunching Slickster says that Josh Taylor had a point deducted, knocked down, outboxed. Catterall also had a point deducted, and it was a worse point than the point that Josh. You know what I'm saying? It was a 10-8 that evened out the whatchamacallit, the knockdown. So there you go.
I gave Catterall rounds 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 8, and I gave Taylor rounds 3, 7. And 9, 10, 11, and 12, and round 11 was even because they had to take a point away.
Yeah, I had round 11 even. So 9, 10, and 12 went to Taylor. I gave Taylor round 7. I gave Taylor rounds 3 and 4.
Now, maybe you could have given Catterall round – I don't even know if you can give him round 11. I didn't think he won round 11. Some people gave Catterall round 12.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, like,
Deal, though. Let me ask you a question real quick. So if they announced Catterall the winner, would you have had a problem with it?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I had Catterall winning 113 and 112.
Okay, you had Catterall winning.
I scored the fight for Catterall by 1 point.
Okay, so
I scored the fight for Catterall by 1 point.
And the fact that Josh Taylor won, do you have a problem with that?
No.
The fact that if Catterall would have won, I would have no problem with that.
Listen,
to me, it was too close.
Rounds 3 and 4, in my opinion, were definitely swing rounds. Really? Now, I'll tell you the clear rounds for Catterall.
Yeah, Dale said he had a 10-8 round in that swing, in that even round. That was 11th.
Yeah. So I some people, well, again, unless we can agree on seven rounds that Catterall won, then it's not
did you bring up a scorecard by chance?
Did I bring up a scorecard?
Yeah, Leighton Evelyn the same. One of the judges gave it a 10-8 round to Taylor. That was the whatchamacallit? Hold on. Did he give it the 10-8 round? I wonder if he gave him.
You can look at it.
Yeah, how would he give him the 10-8 round? Oh, round number 11 was a 10-8 round for Taylor.
No, all the judges. Right here, I'm looking at the scorecards right now. All the judges scored that round 9-9.
Yeah, but what about number 10? Round 10.
Round 10?
That should have been a 10-8 round for Taylor.
All the judges scored it 10-8 for Taylor as well?
Yeah. That's the 10-8 round. That's the point. That's the one where he got deducted.
Now, the judges agreed on – see, one of these scorecards is very blurry. But the judges – the most interesting thing here is all three judges gave Taylor the round two, and I gave that to Catterall. I think you gave that to Catterall too.
Which one?
Round two.
Round two, I did give to Catterall. Yeah.
All three judges gave round three to Taylor. I gave that to Taylor.
1, 2, 5, and 6, I gave to Catterall.
Two of the judges gave round four to Catterall, and one judge gave it to Taylor.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's very subjective in the sense that, like, it wasn't cut and dry. And it also depends on what you were looking for, what you like, you know?
You know,
well, see, Lake Netherlands said he gave round two to Taylor. I gave the first two rounds to Catterall.
Yeah.
Four of the first six to Catterall.
So, I mean, these scorecards, these, like, rounds are all over the place.
Right.
Like, here's the thing. To be perfectly honest with you, rounds 2, 3, and 4 could have gone either way, right? Maybe round 11 could have gone either way,
yeah.
Right? So you got 2, 3, 4, 11. What about round 7? Some people gave round 7 to Catterall. I gave that to Taylor.
I gave that to Taylor.
All right. Who'd you give? Yeah. So 7 was – I'll tell you the clear rounds I thought were Taylor's. Rounds 7, 9, and – Round 7, 9, and I don't know. Some people gave Catterall 12.
Clearly, for me, 9, 10, and 11 were clear rounds for Taylor. 11 was marked with that 9-9 round, okay?
7, 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah. But to me, 1, 2, 5, and 6 were definitely Catterall rounds. That's just me.
Okay. Yeah, I thought 5 and 6 were clear Catterall rounds. Rounds 5, 6, and 8. 5, 6, 8, and 1 I thought were clear Catterall rounds, right? And 7, 9, 10, and 12 I thought were 7, 9, and 10 I thought were 7, 9, and 10 I thought were clear Taylor rounds. So you had four clear rounds for Catterall and three or four clear rounds for Taylor.
It's critical.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say, man. To me, at the very least, some people had it for Taylor. Some people had it for Catterall. And those who had it for Catterall. Sounds like they had it close for Catterall. You can't really call a 113-112 a robbery.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And truth be known, says the only round in the first half I could think of giving Taylor was 3, which is what I did.
Yeah.
I gave him round 3, 7, and I gave him the last 4.
Yeah.
I just thought Catterall just shut down the last 4 rounds of this fight. He did not finish this fight strong. Just didn't. And Taylor didn't win it pretty. Like, the rounds Catterall won, he won them, you know, in very impressive fashion. The rounds that Taylor won, he just mauled. And Catterall just wasn't doing anything, to be perfectly honest with you.
You know, and you know as well as I do that aggressive style, when somebody's coming at you with that aggressive style and knows what they're doing, knows how to put the proper pressure on and everything like that, that's a difficult style to fight, and it also takes stamina out of you fighting a guy like that. It really does.
1, 5, 6, and 8 I thought were clear Catterall rounds. 7, 9, 10, and even 12 I think I don't know. Some people gave Catterall 12. I don't know.
12 could be a toss. I mean, I wouldn't care.
12, yeah, 12.
If you marked it for Catterall, I'm okay with that.
I guess 11 and 12 could have been swing too, I guess.
I don't. I tell you, the 11th round for me, though, was a strong Taylor round.
Yeah, I think 11 was strong too.
And I think, if the fight, if it was close, if it was a closer round and there's a point taken away, typically to me it's a 10-8 round at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's too close, you know what I mean? But this one to me, and I, you know me, man, I never give 9-9 rounds, you know, because if a point's deducted, that usually means that you lost that round. If you got a point deducted, you lost that round. But that was so clear at that point that it was a 9-9 round for me.
Why is there going to be an investigation if Taylor won, the BBC is investigating the fight? I didn't hear that they were doing that. And even if they are doing that,
it's
the same thing.
It's like the IBF investigating something. It doesn't matter.
Well, what about when Bradley and Pacquiao fought and the WBO had rescored the fight and they rescored it for Pacquiao? Did
right.
the decision change? I mean,
right.
It's
it, doesn't, it's not, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, doesn't investigating matter. What?
Now,
here's
anybody can really call. They can really call for an investigation if they don't like it. You know what I mean? So it doesn't.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Virtuoso said, I didn't count all those silly point deductions. Okay. Well, you kind of have to if you're going to score the fight.
Yeah, I just don't
know. You don't have a proper score, you know.
Again, if
I didn't count
that
penalty kick that went in. You know?
Not one person is going to call in and have the same exact score, like would have given Catterall the same rounds that I did.
Right.
You didn't. And I bet you if Robbie calls in, I'm dying to hear the rounds he gave Catterall. Because, again, I talked to D-Style, I talked to you. D-Style had Catterall winning 113 and 112. I had Catterall winning 113 and 112.
Yeah.
You had Taylor winning 113 and 112.
Yep.
We all gave Catterall different rounds. So, again, there has to be seven clear rounds that the consensus out there agrees that Catterall won.
Right.
And we're all of our scorecards are all over the place. Like Andre Ward gave rounds 2, 3, and 4 to Taylor. I you know, could you have given four to Taylor? Yeah. 3, yeah. 2, I don't know, but some people gave him 2. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, that's the thing, man. It's to me, it was just way too close. Way too close to call either way. In the sense that if Catterall won, hey, yeah, then he just won. Taylor won, then, you know, again, man, it's tough. Is Taylor a top-ranked fighter? I don't know. Is he a top-ranked fighter?
Yes.
Or is he
yes,
MTK?
He's a top-ranked fighter. MTK is a management company.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Leighton Evelyn says, true, nothing happens, but the consensus is Taylor lost. The Scottish judge score was a little too wide.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the end of the day, they lost the fight, you know? And I can't, again, man, I can make a case for Catterall winning, but I can also, I clearly made a case for Josh Taylor winning that fight, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, the consensus is Taylor lost, and that's in the UK. And then because Adam Smith went on a tirade. And here's the thing. This is what happens. When a guy starts doing better than you thought he was going to do, you start rooting for him. That's what people do. You know? But I'm a professional. I can't do that. Right? I'm a professional.
Stefan, Andres Chiani says that boxing needs a more rigor in the judging. The scoring is professional.
Judges.
But Stephen 47 says they need 5 judges.
I agree.
I don't hate that.
I like that a lot. Here's another thing I like. If someone wins a round dominantly, then you can do 10-9. But if someone just nicks a close round, why not do a 10-9.5?
I don't like that.
You don't like that.
What about didn't they do that, or weren't they going to do that in England or something like that?
Not sure, but I
thought they were going to do that somewhere, like 9-5.
Really?
You know what's interesting in wrestling, okay, in amateur wrestling, all right? So pretty much like there's never really too much controversy there as far as when the decision comes down. Because, you know, takedowns are worth a point, this is worth a point, blah, blah, blah. There's never too much controversy. I wish we could adapt some kind of system like that. You know what I mean? I know we can't. I get you. But I almost wish you could adapt something like that where, you know, there's whoever won, you know, when you're in wrestling, whoever wins, wins. There's really no real controversy about it. Nobody's going to say, well, he didn't do this or he didn't do that. Listen, he got taken down. He got this. He got that. I almost wish, you know, because it's a combat sport, I almost wish there was something we could do like that in boxing. Now, what it is, I don't know. But I wish there was something like that. And then you wouldn't have all this, you know, where it wasn't like wrestling scoring is not subjective. It is what it is. You know. So there you go.
It's almost impossible to do that for boxing, though.
For sure. Yeah, it is. It is. I wish there was something we could kind of put together or something. But, yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Robeson Ramirez was on this undercard versus Eric Donovan. Ramirez wins the third round stoppage, I believe. Let's go to Showtime here. Chris Colbert versus Hector Luis Garcia, 12 rounds of WBA, junior lightweight eliminator. Hector Luis Garcia wins a unanimous decision over Chris Colbert, 118-109 twice and 119-108. This fight was all Garcia. Garcia knocked Colbert down in the seventh round with one of the best lefts you'll ever see. This was a perfect counter shot. Last three, four rounds, it looked like Chris Colbert kind of packed it in. A lot of people are piling on Colbert for not fighting much in the last few rounds. Listen, I think he was just tired. I think that he knew that, you know, if he would, you know, combination of fatigue and everything like that, that if he goes in there, this guy can clip him and get him out of there. He didn't want that. I get it. It's easy to sit back here and say he ran, he didn't fight. Let me tell you what, man, it ain't all that easy to do, especially when you're tired. Especially when you're tired like that, it's a tough thing. Everybody can sit on their chair and say, oh, man, I would have went right after him. I'll go out of my shield, blah, blah, blah. You know, you hear the same thing on the other side where, oh, I'll never tap. Somebody can put me on, I don't have the heart to tap. I'll never do it. Even if my arm breaks, I just let it break, blah, blah, blah. Listen, it ain't all that easy to do. You got to give the guy a break, man. It ain't that easy, man.
Colbert was fighting Garcia's fight, which was the wrong game plan. I mean, he stood there and traded with him. And you know, the thing about Garcia, too, is he had pretty quick feet, and he got in Colbert's chest. And I think, you know, but by Colbert being interviewed in the locker room before the fight by Jim Gray and asked, do you know anything about this guy? Did you watch any tape? Have you studied him? No, I'll figure it out when I get in the ring. Well, this is what happens when you don't do your homework, right? This guy had
How much of that, though, was just kind of hyperbole or whatever, you know? Kind of like when Adrian Bonner says he doesn't know his opponent's name and stuff like that.
I understand that.
You know?
Like when Floyd used to say it about everybody, right, regardless of who it was. Like, but again, Colbert was a huge favorite over this guy, so you kind of believe he underestimated him, right?
For sure.
He had a very dismissive, cocky attitude.
He's an Olympic fighter, man.
About the fight.
Yeah, it was an Olympic guy, wasn't it, Hector?
Yeah, so I know what you're saying. Do I believe it when a fighter says that all the time? Not all the time. Do I believe it this time? It's possible that he just didn't care about this guy. Like, this guy is a late replacement. He's in there to make me look good, and this is a formality, right?
Yeah, that's tough.
Hector Garcia outworked Colbert. He blanketed him with punches, and he varied up his punches. He was really good at changing levels, and, you know, he had very surprisingly fast feet and arguably faster feet than Colbert. And I'm not used to seeing Colbert in there with someone that's fast.
Good
feet.
Fighter, man. That guy was a solid guy.
So here's the thing. You could sit there and say, well, Colbert fought the wrong fight. But you could also say, regardless of what Colbert did, Garcia was going to make him fight this type of fight because of his pressure, because of his caginess, because of his dogged determination, because he had quick feet, and he had stamina for days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he really did.
This guy was a very volumous.
Looked like he
could have
won another 10 rounds.
Yeah.
He did. He looked like he could have won another 10 rounds.
Yeah, he was a very voluminous puncher, and he had good punch placement. And, you know, the thing he was doing was he was throwing looping shots around the guard of Colbert. It was just a very a very, very comprehensive performance.
Andres Chiani says there are no formalities in competition. You got to show up to every contest.
Tell that to Colbert.
Let me tell you what, man, and he's 100% right. You know how deep boxing is? I mean, really, you think about it, how deep this sport is. You can get beat any given day.
You got to be on.
It's so deep. So many people just want that shot. How many people are just as good as the top guys who aren't even on TV now? You know what I'm saying?
It is a thing. And I'm just going to go back to this Catterall-Taylor fight briefly because I'm going to tie it into this. Because you made a great point. Because you got to be on, and it's very, you know, and then on a given day, you could be off and someone could be on and things like this happen. But you're hearing Bradley sit there saying, oh, well, this guy's on the pound-for-pound list. He can't afford to have a bad night, blah, blah, blah. But I was on the pound-for-pound list, and you were on the pound-for-pound list, Dre. You know, what about go back and watch Bradley versus Provodnikov? Was that one of your better nights? And I loved him, Bradley. I loved
Provodnikov
him.
Provodnikov beat him.
Did you make adjustments in that play, Tim?
Right. Yeah.
What was your adjustments?
Easy to say.
You know, you were slurring your words after the fight. He
put it all. He got rattled.
You know, at least Andre Ward remembers the Kovalev fight, the first fight.
Right.
And he remembers all of the criticism he got. And he was saying, you know, we're quick to give somebody praise and we're quick to take it away just that quick. Let's not all just, Josh Taylor now. Let's not all just throw him away now and dismiss him as an overrated fighter because he did still beat a lot of good guys. Let's look at the circumstances here. The guy's coming off a knee injury, COVID, bronchitis, had problems making the weight. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying these were all factors in his performance. To sit there and say that they didn't play a factor in his performance, you're wrong. You just have to. He had a lot of things going against him. He had the layoff. Catterall had the layoff. But Catterall went into this fight with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Right? He was nothing to lose. All the pressure was on Taylor, and he had all those other things working against him, too. He had an off night. Now, can he have an off night? Apparently not, according to some fans. But again, if you have like Andre Ward said, if this is a reoccurrence, and it happens multiple times, then that's a problem.
Then you know.
But again, he had an off night against Postal, and then he came back and had great performances after that against Prograis. I thought he lost that fight, but it was still a great performance.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the Jose Ramirez fight, he came back. So to sit there and write this guy up, we're so quick to give the guy praise and so quick to take it away. You know, again, the guy could come back and have great performances. But Tim Bradley said, well, you can't be on the proper promise and have this type of performance. And Joe Tessitore, I'm taking him off my proper promise. Proper promise is bullshit anyway. It's fucking objective. Yeah. It's a popularity contest.
Nobody's going to cry if somebody gets taken off of Tessitore's pound-for-pound list.
But again, like, to sit there and say that the guy's trash because he had a bad performance and you can never have a bad performance. Everyone has a bad performance sometimes. Everyone has a bad day at the office. Let's not condemn this guy. Let's not ostracize this guy and throw him away. And dismiss him as being an overrated fighter because he's a good fighter. He's a good fighter.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, man. It's, and again, man, I heard people, people on Twitter piling on Colbert for, like I said, the way he fought the last four rounds. I think Bobby Chess said it best, and I don't know if he invented this or somewhere. He got it from somewhere. He said that fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yeah, you know who said that?
Who said that? I heard Chess.
The Green Bay Packers coach. Who was it?
Vince Lombardi said that. That's okay. That makes sense. And I knew, like I said, I heard Chess say it, but I was like, yeah, I don't know where he got that from. I don't think he, made it up. But, yeah, and he's right. He's 100% right. It makes cowards of everybody, man. When you're tired, you don't want to get knocked out, and you don't want to, you don't want to take that shot. Very few people are going to be in there and try to go out on their shield. It just is what it is.
Not going
to
happen. Though.
Oh, and it doesn't make him any less of a fighter. You know what I mean? So just
really does
give the guy a break, man. At the end, what I was really happy to see at the end of that fight, how gracious in defeat he was. Gave all the credit to Hector, man. He was really gracious in defeat. It just, hey, it's a sport,
He wants a rematch, but again, you lost 10 rounds to 2. Does anyone want to see a rematch? No. I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between Taylor and Catterall, but problem with that is I don't know if Taylor can ever make the weight again comfortably. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen. He's going to move up.
He's going to have to move up. You know what I wouldn't mind him fighting? This may sound ridiculously stupid to some. Kell Brook. It's like it's an entry fight into 147 because he can't really – I don't think he can jump right into one to a title fight with Crawford. He needs
ranking-wise, he can, yeah. But, yeah.
He can.
I get what you're saying.
They made him super champion.
Yes.
What I'm saying is I know he can, but
– Should he?
What I'm saying, I don't think he can, meaning I don't think he'll be ready.
Right. Just because he can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, you know? I think he should take a softer fight.
Yeah.
At 147 to get his feet wet.
Reese Max says Chez. Speaking of Bobby Chez, is college edumacated. You know, Bobby Chez is a member of Mensa.
No, you know that?
He's a genius. He's
so
technically
is,
a genius. Bobby.
So is
Bobby
Asia
Chez.
Carrera. You know who Asia Carrera is?
Asia Carrera, that porn star.
Yeah, she's Mensa too.
No way.
I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she tell you that last week, or what happened? How'd you find out?
Sometimes I do, watch her cam show, but, you know.
Did she say this in a porn, or did she say this, like...
Get to the beef! Get to the beef! No beef's got a fetish with these Asian girls.
You know, if she said it in a movie, it probably isn't true. I'm just saying. You know?
Not a movie. Well documented. Don't you have Google?
It's well documented.
Very well documented. Google is your friend. Use it.
I come up with Bobby Chez as Mensa, and you say so is Asia Carrera.
Yes.
I feel ashamed that I knew she was a porn star. I just.
Come on, man. You know you have X video saved on your phone.
Gary Antoine Russell versus Victor Postol, 10 rounds. Russell beats Postol by stoppage with 29 seconds left in the 10th round. This is a bad stoppage, man. This is a very bad stoppage. Russell was definitely going to win the fight, but there's no reason to stop it when they did.
He looked good.
Yeah, he did. He really did. I don't know what was up with his outfit, but he looked good. Shocker to me of the night, aside from Chris Colbert, Jerwin Anacajas. And I always say when Jerwin fights, it's like must-see TV. He's my guy. He was the best one in that division. I'll be honest with you. That's what I always thought. I've always thought he was the best one in that division. He got manhandled, son. Fernando Martinez beats him, beats Anacajas by unanimous decision, 117-111, 118-110 twice. I mean, he was just teeing off on this guy. It was relentless, man. I was like, wow. It was just relentless, man. I was like, oh, man.
It was bananas, wasn't it?
Craziness, man. And, of course, the DAZN fight today, Lawrence Okolie versus Michael Chezlak. Okolie wins a unanimous decision, 117-110, 116-111, 115-112. So there you go. And then all the as far as their undercard fights went, all the people you thought were going to win Campbell Hatton, all the other ones. I told you they were all squash matches. Told you that last week.
All squashes.
Yeah, all squash matches. You see, what's her face? Ebony Bridges was going to the fight, and she put like an Instagram thing. She was like, me and my girlfriend are going to the fight or whatever. She's wearing like this lacy getup and everything like that. I'm like, come on, man.
I mean.
The only way you get attention.
She just thrives off of attention, bro.
I know I was giving it to her, you know. There are plenty of attention on Instagram, OnlyFans.
I like Asia Carrera better.
You like Asia Carrera? Isn't she like 60 years old now?
Beeb's age. A couple years younger than me.
She did in the 80s, huh?
She's a couple years. I think she's a couple years younger than the Beeb. Let me see how old she is. Trying to remember her age. 48. She's 48 years old.
Oh, she's my age. How about that? Yeah, we got a lot in common.
Yeah. I'll show you a recent. This is a nice recent picture of her. She looks good still. Come on.
Let me see.
Look at that. She looks good still. Come on.
Jesus.
Look at that.
I don't know, dude. She looked like life got the best of her, son.
No, come on.
Oh, dude, come on. We can do better. I know Beeb can do better than that.
No, she looks good still.
Oh, no, man.
Cut it out.
Oh, stop it, man.
She still looks good, man.
I'll take Eddie Bridges for her. You showing naked pictures on here, man? She's still doing naked pictures at like 40?
No, she's not naked. She's not naked. She's covered up mostly.
Then she's naked, son. Come on.
Cut it out. No.
Ignorant Boxing says, is Ebony Bridges gay? She didn't let me know that, so, you know, it is what it is. All right. Ringside Robert on the line, and then we got two from New York. Actually, you know what? Let's go to 917 first. We'll come back to Robert. Let's go to 917. I believe it's New York.
Mail car, I think.
Is that a mail car?
Yo,
917, you're live.
Good. Hello,
Maestro. What's happening? Yes.
What's going on, Maestro?
I'm pretty good, Eric. I got a new cell phone, but then it broke the first day, so I'm actually calling on my tablet. So I hope the sound is okay.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, no, you're good, man.
All right, awesome. So first thing,
we'll send you some petty cash from Beeb Industries. We'll take care of you.
Thank you so much, Joe. So, Eric, I agree with your assessment of the squat matches, except for that European featherweight title fight. I thought that was an excellent, well, it was exciting at least, the European featherweight title match. I was pretty excited during that fight, especially the way he got the KO at the end. Kind of out of nowhere when he was on Bambi legs for like three rounds straight. But let me talk about this fight, though, with Catterall and Taylor, because I'm agreeing. I think it was a very close fight. It was a fight that kind of could have gone either way. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm just going to say it. I think that the English commentary was probably biased. I didn't hear their commentary of the fight, but I heard their post-fight comments. And it seemed to me, at least, that they were rooting for their fellow Englishmen in Scotland. And, you know, it was probably only heightened, to Joe's point, by the fact that he was the underdog going into that fight. I would have had no problems with Catterall winning the fight. But then if it's a close decision for Taylor, I actually don't really have a big issue with that either. I mean, look, if Garcia lost to Colbert, that would have been a robbery. Like, that would have been, you know, worthy of this kind of criticism. I do think that the wide scorecard is deserving of criticism, though. That wasn't the Scottish judge, by the way. That was Ian John Lewis, if memory serves me well. But generally, I've said this before on my own channel, and I'll say it again. I'm sorry for anybody that's heard me say this. But I actually have a lot of issues with home scoring in general as a practice. And, like, I rarely score fights at home anymore. I mean, let me just ask you this, Eric and Joe. Would you be cool with judges, like, wearing headphones with Andre Ward and Tim Brad speaking and providing commentary while they're scoring the fight?
1,000% no.
Well, that's exactly what people do when they're watching fights at home.
Yep.
I mean, we're watching the fight at home, and we're watching the fight, even if we're trying not to, subconsciously through the lens of the people that are providing commentary. And then I find myself, too, like when I start disagreeing with the commentary, then I'm distracted by it, and I'm, like, not watching the fight a judge would watch the fight. I'm, like, kind of, like, angry watching, like, damn, Andre Ward saying that, or damn, Tim Bradley saying that. Are they not seeing all of the stuff that XYZ fighter's doing? And as a judge, you're not supposed to be thinking these things. You're just supposed to be scoring the action in front of you as you see it without any kind of commentary, let alone biased commentary, in your ear nonstop. So, I mean, apart from the fact that I don't enjoy... What's that?
I think each judge should be in a separate room with a monitor watching the fight.
Yep.
They can look at the fight the same way a viewer would look at a fight. Who has a bet? How many times do you go
backstage? Almost like backstage, honestly, so they don't really hear the crowd.
Yes, they can't hear the crowd. Yep. Can't hear the crowd, right? And how many times have you gone to a fight live, go back and watch it and say, damn, that was I have a totally different viewpoint of the fight. Because when you're watching a fight live, you can't see everything. When you're watching a fight on television, you get instant replay. You get the beautiful camera angles, things you can't see when you're live. I think each judge should be watching the fight on a monitor.
They should have those angles.
In a separate room.
They should have those angles. Because you know yourself, man, when you're sitting at ringside, you're seeing one side of the action. A lot of times you don't see what happens. So when you're on TV and you get every angle, you're better equipped to judge,
yeah.
You know?
When I went to Birdo versus Victor Ortiz fight, the first one, I watched it live. I thought it was much closer. I thought it was close. When I went home and watched it on television, I thought Victor Ortiz clearly won the fight. It wasn't really that competitive. So I scored it much wider for Ortiz when I watched it on television because I just couldn't see the same fight. Go ahead, Maestro.
No, I was just going to say you guys are absolutely right. I mean, watching a fight live, ringside, first of all, for anyone who's actually done it, you're actually from a lower view because you're below the ring apron, right? I mean, that's not the view we're getting when we're at home, right? So you're at a lower view than the ring apron. You've got literally one angle to watch the complete fight of, whereas we get multiple camera angles. We get replay. We get Joe Tessitore, Tim Bradley, and Andre Ward speaking to us and telling us what's going on. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a benefit just like for your own personal interest and satisfaction of scoring a fight at home. And it's a good talking point, obviously. But in the grand scheme of things, home scorecards should not be compared to official judge scorecards, in my view. That's just my personal feeling of it for multiple reasons. And I've had people say, oh, well, yeah, but Maestro, I just turned the sound off when I watch fights. Okay, now you've turned the sound off, and now you're, disconnecting one of your main senses, hearing. I mean, so you're not hearing the shots, meaning you're not hearing how powerful they are, meaning you're not able to hear kind of all of the things that as a fight fan you enjoy hearing as part of a fight. And I'm not even talking about the crowd noise. I'm talking about noise emanating from the combatants, right? Like, you can hear when guys are breathing heavy when you're watching a fight on TV, right? You can hear the kind of the speed and the power of the shots. You turn the volume off, you miss all of that. So it's like there's no good way actually to score a fight at home that's comparable to sitting there ringside and scoring a fight. That's just my opinion, and that's all I got for you guys today.
All right. Maestro, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Let's see here. Let's go to 716. I believe this is Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Yeah, guys, hit that like button, guys. Come on. James Hunt brought up a point in the chat right before I go here. James Hunt said, no monitor. He said the monitor is 2D. He said the live is 3D. That's not actually the case here in the sense that
it's not 3D.
I mean, when you're sitting there live, I know what you're talking about, but on a monitor, it's not just like a flat screen. They give you the angles. So, yeah, it's not.
You can see things on a monitor
that you will
that
not
you
see live.
That's why when they have that instant replay rule in boxing, they can look at the monitor because they can go back and look at so many different angles and different
right.
Instant replays and stuff.
And I'm going to show my age here. I'd much rather, anymore. If it's a sporting event you're interested in, you'd much rather watch it on TV than be there live in the sense that I can see everything live. I can see everything on TV.
Yeah.
I can see all the angles. It's more
like
being there, but
the only good thing about being there live is just the atmosphere. But
sure.
I enjoy watching the fight
right.
At home more. I agree,
yeah. 716, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right, 716. Maybe he just wants to listen. I like it. All right, let's go to Robert, 530. Ringside.
Hello,
Robert,
guys.
530,
How are you?
You're live.
How are you, guys?
What's the word? We're good, man.
Robert, let me ask you a question. You told me you didn't score this fight.
No, I did not.
Why didn't you go back and watch it? Why didn't you go back again today and watch it and score
it
so you can have a discussion with us?
Because I watched the DAZN card live. That's why.
you have plenty of time to go back and watch this fight.
No, the DAZN card started for me at 9.
I'm not making excuses. I watched this card. I watched the Showtime card this morning. I went back and watched this fight again, and I watched the DAZN card.
Where did you fit the Asia Carrera movie in that whole thing today?
That's already on cue for when
that's
I'm
on cue for later on tonight.
Show's over. I'm going right in there. The whole room is set up for that.
I'll watch it after I get back from the drugstore.
The whole
with
room is set up
and
for
everything.
That, man.
The whole room is set up. What do you got? Candles and everything set up? What are you doing?
A nice diet seven up in there with me, be ready to go. So I don't want to hear you didn't have time to go back and watch this fight. Because now you're going to call in. We can't compare scorecards. We can't have a discussion if this is a robbery.
You don't even know what you're going to talk about, by the way.
Now you wonder why you're not on the show anymore. Because you don't prepare.
Stop it.
You don't prepare.
What's the matter with you?
You knock it off. First of all, I didn't want to score yesterday's fight because I'd never seen Catterall fight before. So I used it to learn what kind of fighter he was. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to everybody and say, yes, I did score the fight.
I had HIV before either. Doesn't mean I won it. What kind of excuse is that?
Give me a fucking break, will you?
What is that about? I never got kicked in. Well, I did get kicked in the mouth before. But enough with the analogies. You should have watched the fight.
Robert, do you know who Asia Carrera is?
No, because I don't pay attention to that stuff.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, give me a break.
He just doesn't know on my first name basis. You know what I'm saying? I heard some things.
I'm not going to repeat them, but I heard some things. All right?
Joe, you're in a terrible mood today. I don't know what it is. Give me a break.
I couldn't be happier. I mean, you got to come up with – you're not prepared now. You can't – what are we going to talk about now?
All I'll say in regards to the Catterall-Taylor fight, it reminded me of the fight we had a couple of weeks ago over in the UK with the Ryder-Jacobs fight. It was the same kind of circumstance. The only difference is in the Catterall-Taylor fight, you had Marcus Williams constantly interfering with the fight, and that's the name of the referee. And when you have to comment on what the referee's doing during a fight, that's not a good thing. I couldn't tell you who refereed a couple of weeks ago when Jacobs fought Ryder because he didn't have to do anything. He didn't stick his nose in and interfere with the fight. He allowed the two guys to fight. This dude yesterday was absolutely a disaster area. So Marcus Williams is the robbery portion of this card. He's the one that messed up the entire fight, in my opinion.
Who did you think won the fight between Catterall and Taylor?
I thought Taylor won because Catterall didn't follow up after he knocked him down in the eighth round. Rounds 9 through 12, Catterall didn't take advantage of the fact that he knocked Taylor down. He allowed Taylor to reassert himself in the ninth round, and basically that's the reason why Josh Taylor still has those belts. See, any other fighter who had been in that position previously, if he'd knocked somebody down, would take advantage of the fact, I've got momentum here. I knocked the guy down. I can take advantage of this. Catterall didn't do that. That's why Josh Taylor is still the undisputed champion today. Had Catterall followed things up in rounds 9, 10, 11, and 12, we might be talking a different story. So I don't want to hear anybody say anything about how Jack Catterall got ripped off. He didn't close the show.
Hey, what did you think about the point deduction in the 11th round for the guy when he deducted points from Taylor? Was that worth it or not?
I thought both of those point deductions were absolutely ridiculous. Neither one of them deserved to take a point away. Referee did a terrible job.
Would it be safe to say that you would have given Taylor the last four rounds, 9, 10, 11, and 12?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm hearing a lot of people. You gave 9, 10, and 11, and 12.
Yeah. You
Taylor,
also gave
9, gave
9 10,
10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
Robbie did. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just I don't think Catterall finished this fight strong. I'm just being honest.
No, no. He look, Joe. Now I'm correct on this, right? Normally, when a guy knocks a person down, he will follow up in the next round. Correct? Catterall didn't do that. You know?
Yeah.
That's why John
likes to say you got to check the temperature. You got to see what's going on there.
Yeah. Keep Josh the Taylor, hurt. The reason why he still has all those belts is because Catterall didn't follow up what he did in the eighth round. When you knock a guy down, that's your opening to close the show. He didn't do that. He didn't do that, and that's why he lost. And Taylor is going to give up those belts. He looked absolutely awful yesterday. Let's be honest.
For a big money fight now, you know.
I don't know if Josh Taylor took Jack Catterall lightly or took him for granted or thought he was going to blow right through him or what. But
maybe he's just a good fighter, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He doesn't necessarily have to take him for granted to go life and death with the guy. I mean, maybe the guy's just a good fighter, which he
maybe
looked like a good fighter.
I'd rather see
Jack Catterall fight again, and I want to see him fight again.
Yes, I do.
Listening to that ESPN commentary and listening to Tessa Torre and Bradley shit all over Taylor.
Oh my God.
Could it be that Catterall is just better than we thought he was? Could it be Catterall just rise to the occasion when he has?
Yes.
I don't even know that he
rose
to the occasion. Maybe he's just a good fighter. Guys, I mean, like I said,
that could very well be the case as well.
Deep, man. Nobody heard of Ricardo Mayorga until he beat Vernon Forrest. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Nobody knew.
Yep.
Everybody fights nobody till they fight somebody.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
You know? When you first started playing dodgeball, Robbie, you weren't the greatest at it. Now you're the champ.
There it is.
Now you're the champ.
No, I wouldn't be good at that at all. I know that for a fact.
Back in the day, you're in school, you were the dodgeball champ.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think
it's
so.
Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Did Mrs. Herrick score this fight?
No.
What's the matter with you?
Did she watch it with you?
No.
So you, once again, you're not allowing Mrs. Herrick to utilize the DAZN app. You're locking her in the room. When these fights are going on, you're telling her she can't watch these fights. What was she doing when these fights were on?
She was probably watching her own shows on the big TV, you know.
Joe, she's got her own.
She got Robbie on the black and white, you know.
No, Joe, she's got her own TV. She's watching Netflix. I'm watching the fights, okay?
She's probably got one of those big, huge TVs, man.
You locked in her own room with that 10-inch television set while you sit in the living room watching the 65-inch show.
I have a 32-inch TV, Joe, not a 10-inch TV.
You have a 65. She's got a 10.
No.
I know. I sent it to you.
Eric, he's out of control today.
I told you to let Eric watch it, too.
He's out of control.
He's out of control today. But, I have to agree with Maestro. The best fight on today's card was the European title fight. And I was yelling at my TV the last two rounds of that fight for the corner to actually stop it. And, boy, I'm glad that they didn't, because he came out with a miracle punch. That's basically what it was. It's candidate for one of the early candidates for knockout of the year. So if you get a chance, go back and watch that European title fight today.
Not going to do it.
Anyway, that's all I got, guys.
All right, Robert, we'll keep you on hold here. Hang on. All right. Let's see here what we got here. What's coming up? Let's see. Coming up March 4th, ESPN Plus from Fresno, California. Jose Ramirez versus Jose Pedraza, 12 rounds junior welterweight. Not a bad fight. Gabriel Flores Jr. versus Abraham Montoya, 10 rounds junior lightweights. Joette Gonzalez versus Hale Santisma. 10 rounds featherweights. So there you go. March 5, on the zone, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez versus Julio Cesar Martinez, 12 rounds junior bantamweights. this is supposed to be a good one, man. This is supposed to be a real good one. Chocolatito, again, I wrote him off a long time ago. I don't know where he's come back.
I mean, pick him, brother. It's a pick him.
Yeah,
brother.
This should be good, man. This should be real good. Mauricio Lara versus Emilio Sanchez, 10 rounds featherweights. Angel Fierro versus Juan Carlos Burgos, 10 rounds lightweights. Let me see if there's anybody else on that card. Nobody really worth mentioning. And that's it. There's a card in the Czech Republic with a bunch of names you've never heard of, and it won't be televised, so go watch it on YouTube. I'll tell you. All right. There you go. All right, let's see here. Let's go to the news here. All right, this is big. We're going to start our news and rumors here. As everyone knows, Ukraine was invaded this week. President Zelensky took up arms for Ukraine and is fighting alongside his soldiers. This is the president of the country out there fighting. Can you imagine, like, Trump or Biden? Well, Biden's like 90. Imagine, like, Trump picking up arms and going out there. No way. No way. The mayor, let's see here. And they told him, they were like, the U.S. told him, hey, we're going to get you out of there. You know, we can get you out of there if you want. He says, nah, I don't need to ride any ammo. So that guy is staying, man. That is a leader. You want a textbook leader, man. That's the guy right there. The mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, you may have heard of him, former world champion, undisputed heavyweight champion, is also out there fighting alongside with his brother, Vladimir Klitschko, heavyweight champion of the world. Alexander Usyk has picked up arms and is now fighting. Vasyl Lomachenko has reportedly returned to Ukraine, has now also joined the war effort. Viktor Postol is headed back to Ukraine in the next day or so, fresh off his fight with Gary Russell. Ivan Baranchuk, I believe, is also in country. This is simply amazing to me that these fighters with so much – you have the heavyweight champion of the world, just about the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, all right, with Usyk right there. Said he's supposed to be training. He's got a fight coming up with AJ. Said he's going back to Ukraine. Showed him the fatigues and everything. Same thing with Lomachenko. Chris Mannix put out a tweet earlier saying that Lomachenko was in Greece and that he sought refuge at a monastery. This is Chris Mannix's words, not mine. 2 days later, I'm seeing him in – what the purpose of that tweet was other than to throw shade at Loma because, you know, the other guys are over there and everything like that. It was just a ridiculous tweet.
Very disgraceful, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, because what were you trying to do? You know, what were you trying to say with that? Tony Yeo says, what is Ivan Redcatch doing? I don't know. I imagine he'll be back there as well. But that's my guess, is that they're all going back there. And, you know, this isn't fighting for money. This is you're going to get, you know, you can get killed over there. I mean, this is war. There's a lot of bullets, missiles, everything like that. This is serious stuff.
Serious business.
This ain't a game, man. Not a game. So, yeah. Tommy Boxeo, thank you so much, brother. He said, thoughts and prayers go to the Klitschko's, Usyk, and Loma, who are currently on the front lines. Those guys are real men. I hope they stay safe. Yeah, absolutely hope they stay safe, man. I really, you know. Brian Arbali, Arabali, said these Ukraine fighters won't hang around too long when things get red hot. Listen, they're all in Kyiv. They're all in Kyiv. That is red hot as it gets, son. It doesn't get any hotter than what it is now.
I've seen Vitaly Klitschko in mobs, like throwing down when surrounded by people, like taking on like whole crowds.
Well, he just tweeted out, I guess they just, or somebody tweeted it out, that he's, I guess a report coming from him, from Klitschko, said that Kyiv is surrounded right now with the Russian soldiers, you know. So, I tell you what, I hope those guys stay safe. I hope it's, I hope they all come out of it and everything like that, man. But for those guys to do what they've done for the country, for their country.
Is Vladimir back there, too? Does Vladimir go back?
Yeah, they're all back there. Vitaly and Vlad are both on the front lines right now. Usyk went back. He's on the front. Again, Lomachenko's on the front. Postol's going back there because his family's back there. He's got to get back to them. I imagine he'll pick up arms, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. That's fine. You know,
I have nothing but respect for those.
What about that president, man? I mean, how could you not want to fight for that guy? He walks it like he talks it, you know? Yeah. Pocket, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He said, respect and prayers to the people of the Ukraine. Props to the Klitschko's, Usyk, the Usyk, Postol, and many other fighting the biggest fight of their lives. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, Tommy Boxeo just said what I said. You'd never see Trump and Biden take up arms. Yeah, you think?
Never.
You kidding me? Trump didn't Trump claim like an ankle injury or something like that, or a foot injury? That's why he couldn't go to Vietnam. Bone spurs.
Bone spurs.
He's going to pick up a weapon, right? He's going to pick up
five deferments.
Okay, yeah, five. Yeah, he's going to do something, right? Ignorant Boxing says World War III is coming. I hope not. Definitely hope not. I always think there could be a peaceful situation. I always think there's a peaceful ending to everything, man. Listen, every side has things that they want. It could all be, listen, it could all be smoothed over. Maybe it won't be smoothed over. I don't know. We'll see, man. Hopefully it is, man. Nobody wants to see any more than what's already happened. So enough's enough. Let's go ahead and get this done. And hopefully, like I said, man, the whatchamacallit, Biden's son served. There you go. Hopefully this just gets solved. You know what I mean? Hopefully this gets solved. I know the two sides are meeting today, later on today, I guess, in Belarus or on the border or something like that. So to try to figure this all out. I'm just hoping for a speedy resolution of all this, man. There's no reason for them to be out there. And I hope those guys stay safe. I really do. They got a lot. They could easily just come to America and stay. You know what I mean? They could easily just come to America and stay.
Yeah.
Ain't a big deal. And they resume their careers and make millions of dollars and not even worry, not even look back. The fact that they ditched all of that, they ditched it all and said, no, this is my country. I'm going to go fight for it.
We're not having it.
That says a lot, man. That says a lot, man. I don't know. I mean, would you do it? You know what I'm saying? If you're, say you're over in the UK and making all kind of money, and I don't know that I would. I'll be honest.
Right now, at 52 years old, man, I'd have to say I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, everybody, 18 to 60, they're drafted 18 to 60. Males in the Ukraine, I don't know if it applies to females as well, but I know males in Ukraine can't leave. They said, you got to stay and fight. Yeah. So it's serious business over there, man. They're not messing around.
That's crazy.
I'll tell you what. I was surprised that Russia hadn't taken it by now. You remember how easy the United States went into, like, Iraq and took that over that quick?
Yeah.
And the fact they went into Afghanistan and just took that right over with, like, little or no resistance?
Yeah.
And Russia's having this much trouble? Tell you what, man, there's no army. There's no military like the United States. There is no military like the United States. They don't play around, man. They know what they're doing. They got the best equipment, best of everything, man. They are the power. The power to mess with. More on this war here. The IBF, the WBC, the WBA, and the WBO have taken action against Russia. There will be no title fights by these organizations as long as Russia is at war with Ukraine. They've all signed this contract or whatever. There will be no title fights in Russia. FIFA has gone just about as far as you can go without suspending Russia from the league. They won't play, I guess they won't show any Russian flags or something like that, but FIFA's also in it. Everybody I know of, are really coming down on Russia.
Yeah, everyone's taking sides against Russia right now.
Yeah, JC says, I wouldn't say the best equipment, trust me. Joe, you were in the military. We got pretty good equipment, though.
Yeah.
I'd say we got pretty good equipment.
King, strong military.
King Boxing says, we lost the Afghanistan war. Listen, we did. We lost Vietnam. I get you. I get where you're coming from. But what I'm saying is that you go in there and you didn't have, you know what I'm saying? They take these things over. Now, whether they keep them or not, it's a different animal. But
we lost the Vietnam War. We didn't lose the Afghanistan War. Stop.
Maestro says, you must be joking. The U.S. got stuck in Iraq and Afghanistan and spent decades there fighting insurgents. The U.S. took a serious L in both countries. The U.S. military did not take the L. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what happened
was, that military went in there and took that country over?
here's the problem. What I can agree on is the objective was not achieved.
Sure. Because they wanted to turn it over. Listen, but the thing is, and that's, you want to give like freedom to a country that doesn't, maybe doesn't want to be free. They don't think your way is the best. That's
well,
you
go
understand.
In there and you try to tell a country what they're supposed to do. I'm just not a big fan of this of these wars, man. I'm just not.
No.
I never have been.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree. All right, let's move on to boxing now. Canelo versus Bivol is official for May 7th. Now, Joe, maybe you have more information on this than I do because it's all a little wonky, and I'll explain this here in a minute. Canelo has signed to fight Dimitri Bivol. This is what we know for a fact. This will be on DAZN pay-per-view. Hey, wait. DAZN is already pay-per-view, Beeb. What's going on here? We're already paying. What is this, double secret pay-per-view? Listen, man, we're already paying.
Knew it was coming.
We're already paying.
Knew it was coming.
$79.99 for non-subscribers. $59 for subscribers. I guess there's at least some price break to it, if you want to say that.
Well,
you know?
Here's the thing. $60 for a pay-per-view is not bad.
No. I don't think so either.
Now, if this is $60 and you're paying $80 for some of that other stuff that's going on, then come on. I mean, it's a good fight, Canelo and Bivol.
It's a good fight. This is a pay-per-view type fight. Yeah. I don't want to pay it because I pay for DAZN already.
Now,
I don't want to pay it, but...
No, I mean, you know, but here's the thing. Here's what I've heard. It's a three-fight, $160 million deal.
I heard it was a two-fight with an option for a third, but then I heard that they was going to roll in.
I heard it was a three-fight deal, and what they're hoping for is Bivol, Golovkin, and possibly Makabu for the third.
Oh God!
Those are the three fights. I like Bivol.
Oh, that's the only fight I like. That's awful.
Here's the problem.
And he's getting $160 for that? $160?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not worth $160. Well, listen, man. I'll tell you what. I don't like the third Triple G fight. I don't like it at all. I think Triple G's way past his prime. And I do not like the McAdoo fight. I've never liked that fight.
Yeah, you've never liked it.
No.
But yeah. The disappointing thing about it is I don't like the three deal contract. I think he should have stayed fight to fight because then he would have the option to fight Beterbiev. Now, would Top Rank let him fight Beterbiev on his own pay-per-view? Well, that's the thing. Who knows? But, you know, I don't know if he can do it now because they're saying Bivol. Then he's going to move back down to 168 and fight Golovkin, and then he's going to go up back. I don't like the up and down with the weight either, man.
I don't like it either. But, you know, listen, man. Whatever weight he wants to fight at, that's the weight he's going to fight at. That's it.
And he can do whatever he wants.
He's going to do, yeah.
I'm just saying, will this be the optimum thing to do?
Well, and it's also based on Triple G beating Murata in Japan, which,
yeah.
You know, listen, man, Triple G hasn't looked good as of late, so, and he's fighting in Japan, so who knows?
I'm kind of rooting against Triple G to lose.
I am, too, because I don't want to see the fight.
No,
I don't
no
want to see it. It's just
no disrespect.
There's no
I'd rather see Canelo fight somebody else.
I already seen it. I already seen the fight twice, you know.
And you know this version of Triple G is not going to be as competitive as he was in the other two fights.
No, absolutely
not.
Absolutely.
It's not the same fight now.
No.
It just isn't.
You know. I would have much rather seen the Charlo fight. I'd like to see Benavidez, but I like the Bivol fight. I don't hate it. I like it, but
I like the Bivol fight a lot.
I would have much rather seen the Charlo and the other fight, and the Benavidez fight. But,
yeah.
Hey, man, it is what it is. Centurion Sun said, you're hating on Triple G. Wow.
Yeah.
It's cold. Dillian White signs the contract, Beeb. Much ado about nothing, man. He finally signed the contract to face Tyson Fury April 23rd at Wembley Stadium. My guess is that he won't be that he's not going to do too much promotion. He's going to get a big payday, which is good, but he's acting like a complete baby. And, you know, not doing the promotion is going to hurt him worse in the long run.
Yeah. I think he'll do the promotion. I think he's just talking trash. I think Eddie Hearn's saying, oh, well, he doesn't want to go and travel around and risk himself getting COVID, this, that, and the third. But he'll go to press conferences. Again, I think everything's going to be fine for this fight. I think all this talk of, you know, the negativity and him not doing this and Tyson Fury not doing that, I think the fight will go off without a hitch. I think we'll be fine here.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so. And I think it'll be a good fight. I think that, you know, those two, the press conferences, if Dillian White shows up, they're going to be really good. You know, they're going to make you want to watch this fight, you know? So there you go. Janabek, Alan McConnell,
just say Janabek, man.
Janabek, okay.
That's all anyone ever says.
I don't know. I'm not even going to try.
Almakdiyev or some shit.
Yeah,
like
I'll have to listen to it on YouTube, and I usually do.
Hard to pronounce.
Yeah. Janabek A, all right, has been ordered by the WBO to face Jaime Munguia. The fight has been ordered, but we'll see if it comes to pass. Usually it doesn't mean much, but I hope it happens. That's a good fight.
I hope it happens.
A solid fight.
I like the fight.
Yeah, that's a solid fight, man. It really is. John Ryle Casimero faces a sexual assault charge. This is from ESPN. Your boy, Mike Coppinger, writes this. Bantamweight title holder John Ryle Casimero has been accused of sexual abuse, according to a February 11th complaint filed by the Women and Children Protection Desk in the Taguig City of Philippines. The complaint says a 33-year-old inappropriately touched a 17-year-old girl while she was sleeping in his hotel room June 7, 2021. What was she doing in his hotel room? The acts of lasciviousness complaint, along with Special Protection of Children Against Abuse, Exploitation, and Discrimination Act complaint, was filed with the prosecutor's office. Not looking good. I know those things are hard to prove, man, but I tell you what, man, that's awful.
Yeah,
it's true, and you got to go, man. They got to have stiff fines for that. They got to have stiff things for that in the sense that, like, if he's guilty, he's got to go. Any kind of crime like that, he's got to go, man. Just is.
It's like your man Broner, too.
Well, Broner's a different story. What was that? She was underage? He wasn't messing with underage girls.
No, but he's always messing, like, doing sexual harassment.
Just stop it.
Making pornos and shit.
So is your girl, Asia Carrera.
She's a professional.
Well, you got to start somewhere. .508, Georgie.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people?
Georgie.
Georgie. How you been, man? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Long time no see, guys. Bro, I know there was mad boxing going on. Yeah, I'm all right. I know there's been mad boxing going on, this and that, baby, but we in the final stretch. That Ukraine shit, and ain't no joke. I think the gods
are right about that.
Humanity once again. We're about to get
back
to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Think about
if it's not
that,
COVID, it's war, so there you go. Awful. I hope it stops. I hope they're able to come to an agreement soon and get this thing behind us.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Listen. Yo.
That was awkward.
Yo.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
You there? Listen, man, that Ukraine situation, baby. Eric, you misleading, baby. A little naive on your part thinking that the Russians haven't advanced because they're not being systematic. You really think that these people, they haven't taken over just because the Ukrainian forces, they put in such a great effort?
Yeah, I do, because they've gotten how many tanks destroyed? Like tons. Like what I hear, over 100 pieces of material have been sacrificed already?
Dude, if you
That's
control
no joke.
The air,
That's a
you
big
control
number.
The battlefield. They're talking about that the Ukraine only got one so-called ghost fighter out there. If you
Didn't
control the
like
air, you control the battlefield.
I'm telling you, man, they should have done had this ended already.
Nah, bro. Remember how long they took in Crimea? How many fucking the proxy war that we had going on down there? How long that shit took?
I don't know.
That took like 6 years, bro. Took an ill minute. That shit took an ill minute. That didn't come out like in a couple of days only. They being systematic, man. Listen, Russia, that believe that Russian military got like fucked up old tanks. Listen, Russia always had the best rockets. Russia always had the best rocket, the best scientists when it comes to this shit. Always have been. They always be better than us.
Tell them to start using
shit.
It. Tell them to start using it because right
about
now
they're
not doing
to
too well.
Listen, man, I just got to appreciate that we all here, that you guys still got this show. I'm able to call. Other people's able to call, and we can come together as a boxing fan.
We're
going
to take the show. We're involved in this conflict.
Say what?
Why would they take the show away? We're not involved in. Said why would they take the show away? We're not involved in this conflict,
baby. Because this shit could go nuclear anytime, baby. You think I'm telling you, B? You know when I told you that, like, sometimes I don't feel part of the human race.
Yes.
Maybe it is a good possibility here that we're about to get reset back to the Stone Age.
They may not be able to stop the show. We have a bunker in this.
That's right.
Maybe you live on the East Coast like I live on the East Coast. We already dead, bro.
We have a bunker here at Beeb headquarters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can do this show from underground. If we have to, we can do this show from underground.
Imaginary.
We have internet connections.
I know we can let you get away with your imaginary friends and shit.
We can send a helicopter to Ohio and bring Eric down here. It could be done. Don't worry.
That's it.
We can send a Beeb chopper down there and we can pick Eric up.
Pick me up. You ought to just come over here because, like I said, nobody's hitting the Midwest, so there's nothing here.
Okay.
Ain't shit going on none of that. But listen, man, listen. It had never happened on the history of boxing that this many fighters have go to war. This shit is like unprecedented. This is like a movie shit. This is crazy, man. All these people went out there to
disagree.
Defend their
I completely disagree. What is it? World War II, Joe Louis went. Who else went? Ted Williams. Who else?
Damn it.
Sugar Ray Robinson?
Sugar Ray. Yeah, Sugar Ray. Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Robinson. They all went. They all
on the front line. These people never went to the front lines. But Eric.
Well, they didn't go to the front lines. I mean, but they were in. It started going war.
Yeah, but it's not even close, baby. These people, they were out there passing sandwiches in the fucking cafeteria and shit.
I don't know. That's where I'd like to be if I'm winning.
Sound good on paper. I know what you're saying. On paper, it sounds beautiful, but it's not even close, man.
Those got a point there.
Listen, the Ukraine,
like another tuna on rye.
It's like, the Ukraine is like the fucking... On West Europe, it's like the mecca of boxing. I don't think there is any other country that has given so many fucking fighters from West Germany. I mean, from East Germany.
There you go. Some brave guys, man.
This is like if all these people die, that will be something that I never, ever fucking seen in the fucking world of boxing. That will be like catastrophic because seems like the Ukraine is giving humanity these great fighters. You know what I'm saying? So boxing going to take a big L down there. Do you know how many generations going to have to fucking pass for they to start producing these motherfuckers again? For boxing, it will be a devastating L, man. Real bad, not good.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to say, guys.
We'll see
I just want to say God bless everybody. God bless humanity. Hopefully we make it. And hopefully see you guys next week. Shout out to everybody in the UK, in the world, Ukraine, and I'm out.
All right, Georgie. All right, let's see here. 602, I believe this is Phoenix. 602, you're live.
Yo, what's up, Eric? It's Brandon in Phoenix. How you guys doing, man?
Brandon in Phoenix, love it. What's
Brandon,
up, man?
What's happening?
Hey, not much, B. Hey, man, I just wanted to call in, and I missed the earlier part of the show. I just wanted to call in and say, I watched the Catrell versus Josh Taylor fight. You know, I thought that they could have given him the decision, but I'm not mad at the judges for what they did, and I really think that Catrell only has himself to blame, because for the last four rounds, all he did was hug. And I think that we all know boxing, and we know how the sport is run. And to beat a champion like Josh Taylor on his home soil, you really got to make a decisive statement, you know. And I just think that he didn't do that, and I think he has nobody but himself to blame. You know what I mean? So that's just how I feel about that fight. Is that how you guys saw it, or did you guys just see it as a straight robbery?
No, it wasn't.
No,
I don't think it was a robbery. I don't think either one of us thought it was a robbery.
Could have gone either way. I scored at 113 and 112 for Catterall, but Eric scored at 113 and 112 for Taylor.
Yeah.
Could have gone either way.
Close fight.
Okay.
And I did have Catterall losing the last four rounds. I had Catterall losing the last four rounds on my card. So did Eric.
Yeah, in the last four rounds, they weren't close. I mean, he just didn't give anything. You know, he didn't do anything those last four rounds.
Anything. He
was, yeah.
He was getting roughed up. He was getting roughed
up.
Getting out muscled.
Yeah, he was done for. But, all right, cool. So I just wanted to touch base on that fight. Cause I've been seeing a lot of people talk about, oh, it's a robbery and, you know, crying a river and all this other kind of stuff on the internet. But I just wanted to touch base with some people, see what they thought. And then the Canelo promotion, you know what, Eric? I agree with you. I believe that the Bivol fight is a good fight. But I would have rather liked to see Charlo or Benavidez or something like that. Just because I think the promotion would have been better. You know, I think it's
right.
You know, not to anything against Eastern Euros or anything like that, but it's just nice to have the biggest star in boxing fight somebody who speaks English. You know, and we can get those moments that we got to get the plant face off and things like that. And I think that would really add to the fight. I think Bivol's a good fighter. I think some of these, some of the Russian, you know, / Ukrainians or whoever they may be, I think sometimes these guys get a little overrated, you know, as though some boogeyman or something like that. But I just think Bivol's a good fighter with some decent hand speed, some decent foot speed. And but I think Canelo's going to be able to break him down over time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good fight. I mean, it is a solid fight. Bivol doesn't really have that name recognition that a Benavidez or Charlo has. I think that those two are known more than Bivol, but Bivol is definitely a solid matchup.
Yeah, and then with the Fury, and then my last little thing is the Fury and White. I think what White's trying to do right now is exercise as much leverage as he possibly can to get a little bit more money out of this promotion, because – what is it, Beeb? Is it like 70-30 is the split?
No, 80-20.
Yeah.
But
$7 million, so you can't cry me a river. He's getting
$7 million,
right?
He ain't getting any more money. He already signed the contract, man. He's going to do the promotion. He's just talking trash, man.
Here's the thing, Brandon. It's his fault.
That went to purse bids because he didn't accept the initial offer. So if he accepted the initial offer, then more than likely he would have gotten a piece of the pay-per-view revenue. Now this is a standard purse bid contract. He gets no pay-per-view upside at whatsoever, and he gets the extra $4 million if he wins. But if he doesn't win, then Tyson Fury gets that extra $4 million, because that $4 million is going to be held in escrow, and the winner gets that. So he's going to walk away with $7.3 million, which isn't a bad deal. But if he took six and got 20% of pay-per-view upside, win or lose, he could have got upwards of 11 to 15.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably
you know that fight's going to do crazy numbers over in the UK. I don't know what it's going to do over here. I just don't know. I don't know. But
you
I know
it's
going to do crazy numbers in the UK.
I think it might do okay over here. It's going to be good press, you know, at the end of the day. I think Americans are somewhat invested in Fury. where we know who he is, we're aware of the guy, we see him enough, he's interesting enough.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with Dillian, I think Dillian throws a good press conference too. You know, you get two big guys up there whooping at each other. And as long as it can kind of hit a couple of mainstream American press type things, like if they can get this on PTI, they can get this on First Take and those types of things, I think it'll do well in the American press. I just think it's kind of a hard time for Dillian White because, you know, we haven't seen enough of Dillian White on American soil, even though, you know, in my estimation, I mean, of the contenders, of the guys outside of, if you want to say, like the big three or whatever, Dillian White probably has the biggest fan base or has the most notoriety. You know, I don't think he'd probably make any more money fighting anybody else other than White outside of fighting Joshua.
Right.
You know,
well, Joshua has to beat Usyk first for him. You know, I mean, what if Joshua loses to Usyk?
Well, is Usyk even going to fight?
Usyk again. Joshua can't beat Usyk.
is Usyk even going to be there to fight? You know, who knows?
Well, here's another big question for both of you guys. What's a more attractive fight in terms of public interest? Fury versus Usyk or Fury versus White? Like, which fight would garner more attention and generate more revenue?
I would say White.
I would say White too, because White and Fury would do crazy pay-per-view numbers in the UK, and plus the way they would go back, they're going to go back and forth each other. I think this is going to be a great promotion. I don't buy White. White can say whatever he wants. So he's going to promote this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would
agree with you. I'd love to see Usyk in there and get a shot at the big fella because I just think it's just such an interesting matchup. Because, you know, I think Usyk just has a lot of them skills that we were used to seeing back in, you know, the early 90s, late 80s of heavyweights of yesteryear. And to get to actually see a guy with that skill level and athleticism, you know, of past decades against a guy of the size of a Fury, to me, it's just really, really interesting, you know, because when you would do those fantasy matchups in your head, you'd always say to yourself, oh, well, you know, Riddick Bowe or whoever is 6'5", 250, and this old heavyweight was, you know, 6'1", 210. You know, what chance would Sonny Liston really have against somebody of that size? You know what I mean? And even though, you know, obviously it's different skill sets, just seeing men of different sizes match up like that, it always interests me. You know what I'm saying? It's always interesting.
Yeah,
but anyway,
sure,
man, y'all have a good show, man. Y'all keep it going, all right?
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Thank you so much, Brandon. Let's see here. Tommy Boxeo says, I hope they do a gloves are off for Fury White. I hope they do, too. I'm not confident that they will, but I hope they do. I really do. Taylor M says, Eric, avoiding the tough questions tonight. What questions am I avoiding here?
Oh, he's asking you, he's going to stand by that Biden vote.
Yeah. I didn't want the other guy in there, so yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people just, you know, they don't like Trump.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. I mean,
people can vote for who they want.
What did he say? Would you hear what he said about Putin, didn't you? He said, oh, he's a genius for going in there and blah, blah, blah. Complete moron. Complete moron, son. Can't stand by that guy. 805, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nacho.
Hey, Nacho, what's up?
Hey. Yeah, Beeb, I know you were waiting to do that. just really quick, as far as Taylor Catterall, I don't disagree with the last guy that just called in right now. I honestly thought the fight was there for the taking for Catterall, but he just didn't do enough towards the end to win the fight. The thing that made that fight tough to watch, and I still don't understand why refs don't penalize guys. The constant grappling and mauling between both guys, it just was ridiculous. Like, I haven't seen too many championship fights where guys were literally grappling and mauling each other throughout the fight like they were in that fight. Like, they got to figure out a way to penalize these guys and force them to have to actually fight on the inside, because watching that was tough at times yesterday. Both guys just never wanted to engage on the inside, and they literally just held and grabbed and mauled for dear life, and it was just tough to watch both guys do that. And so I honestly hope that at some point or another, these refs finally just start penalizing these guys and actually force them to have to fight on the inside, because watching that is unbelievably hard at times. And then it's funny, too, because with Taylor was saying a couple of days ago for the weigh-in, he was saying, oh, I could be at 140 for the rest of my career. I think I have no problem making 140. And then they said today that apparently he's going to drop all the belts and move up to 147. So I was like, well, that didn't take long. And then
hopefully, if he does that, then Catterall gets a shot at one of those belts.
Yeah,
that would be
He will. I think he'll get a shot at somebody else
too,
for sure. Yeah. And then with the Showtime card, Ancajas, Martinez, that little Martinez kid was entertaining to watch. He took it to Ancajas last night and took it to him, and basically, you know, he did what Catterall did, and he went out there and he beat the guy up and he took his belt. And so now that kid is a champ, and now he's probably going to be a guy who's going to be in the mix because of that belt to get a bigger fight later on down the line against one of the guys, you know, like Estrada or maybe Bam Rodriguez or Cuadras, whoever. I mean, hopefully he gets a shot, because that kid could make some entertaining fights against some of those other dudes. The other fight that I just had a real issue with was Postal and Gary Antoine. Like, I don't understand what the hell Mike Ortega was doing at the end. Like, there's less than 30 seconds left to go in the fight. Postal might have gotten stunned a little bit, and he was retreating to the corner. But he was never seriously hurt to the point where he needed to step in and stop that fight. So that's my biggest issue with that one. Yeah, that was my biggest issue with that one. I thought he should have let that fight continue. And the fact that they gave him a TKO when, you know, he didn't need it. I thought he was going to win the fight on points, but I just thought it was completely unfair to Postal. But I got to give Postal credit, considering all of the stuff that's going on back home with his family. The fact that he was able to actually compete and, you know, be competitive in spite of all that, like, you just got to give the guy, you know, a whole lot of credit for that. And then just with the main event, I don't know who the hell this Garcia dude was. I was just thinking that he was just going to be some placeholder that they put in because, you know, he didn't really have anybody on his record that was, like, a legit win. And I just thought that Colbert was just going to go out there and beat him. But goes to show, if you don't take these guys seriously, no matter what, they're going to go out there and they're going to beat you. And next thing you know, you end up with a loss on your record. And that's what happened to Colbert. He took this dude lightly and he ended up getting beat, and now we'll see what they do, but that's a bad loss for Colbert for sure. So all right, guys, that's my call.
All right, Nacho, good call as always here, man. Let's see here, did you hear about this, Beeb? And I did hear about this. Stephen 47 says that DAZN is putting the yearly subscription up to $149.99 when it comes, I think it comes May 1st. Did you heard about this? As I read about this too, and I wasn't.
I did not hear about
too
this.
Much research on it, but I did hear something about this. They're going to up it for yearly for $149. Then I got to do pay per view.
Told y'all this was coming.
What?
I told y'all this was coming.
Steve, what's going on there, man?
D-Style and I did a video about maybe a year ago. And we talked about all this. Everything they said they weren't going to do, they started to do. They said they weren't going to raise the price for a while, and they raised the price.
It's only $12.50 a month, though.
Oh, I'm just saying. What else did they say? They said that they were going to. What else did they say? It's a couple things they said they didn't go back. I'm trying to remember the whole thing of the video that we did. They said they weren't going to raise the price. They said they weren't going to do, I think they weren't going to do commercials. They said they weren't going to do pay-per-view, and then they already started talking about doing pay-per-view, and now they're going to do pay-per-view, you know?
Oh, really? They're going to do commercials? You think they'll do commercials?
There is commercials. When you watch the show, you watch fights now, they have commercials.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they have commercials. They added commercials in. They raised the price, pay-per-views. Then they told you that they had Canelo locked in and Golovkin locked in. They have Golovkin locked in, but now they don't have Canelo locked in for a long term. They had a restructure of both Golovkin and Canelo's deal, you know. So, but I heard that someone just injected like a lot of money into Zone. Something happened, and someone invested a ton of money. Like they're not in the red anymore. Like someone paid off all of their debt. Let me see if I can find this for you.
DAZN is a huge, I mean, it's a huge corporation, man.
Yeah, they
it's
own
not
by
just boxing
by
in the U.S.
Form.
It does all types of sports all over the world.
Yeah, this guy, Lee Blavatnik, agrees $4.3 billion DAZN recapitalization. He has agreed to a recapitalization, and all of the debt has been cleared from the books of DAZN.
Wow.
So they had, and DAZN had filed their accounts for 2020 and recorded a total loss of $1.3 billion, identical to the previous 3 months. But February 18th, they're looking to do betting and gaming and stuff too.
Right.
What is this? DAZN wipes debt, looks to betting and gaming. So now they're going to get involved in betting and gaming too. So Lee Blavatnik,
$4.3 billion to save him from debt. Wow.
Blavatnik saw his wealth grow by $9.8 billion from the beginning of 2021 to $31.2 billion by mid-May. DAZN recorded a loss of $1.3 billion for 2019. The company said its revenue has risen 20%, but still far from profitable. Access is putting up an additional $250 million into DAZN as it seeks to expand into new markets. Specifically, the company is lining up moves into sports betting, gaming, and NFTs. On Wednesday, DAZN struck a deal with Buzzr, which will provide short-form boxing highlights via micropayments. Wow.
There you go.
They're going to be doing soccer. They're going to be doing English. They
already do Premier League, don't they?
Yeah, they're going to do Premier League.
Will we see any of that? You know what I mean? Like, will we be privy to any of that? Or is that just going to be back overseas? Because here we got what? I mean, they don't really put much on here, you know?
So Lee Levodnik, investment firm, Access Industry Holdings, LLC, he just injected $4.3 billion
yeah.
into the zone.
It's crazy,
that's
right?
That's
crazy.
Insane. So I mean, Eddie Hearn is going to be the king here.
Yeah,
he's going to have all this capital to work with here, all these funds. So
crazy, man, just crazy. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week. Prayers, thoughts and prayers to everybody out in the Ukraine. Hopefully our fighters out there, man, stay safe, man.